thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you for that wonderful worship and prayer, and thank you, AD, for that introduction, but I'm just going to sum it up real quick for you. My name is Santi. That's it. You don't need to call me Santiago, my full name. I get San Diego. Santiago, just call me Santi, that's fine. You just need to know I serve a king. His name is Jesus. I serve a queen. Her name is Raquel. It's up there. And I serve a princess. Her name is Cecily. Those are my two girls back home. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know, because I'm going to teach you some Spanish, and I'm going to teach you an international class here. I need you all to stand up. Where are my fellows who speak Spanish? Come on, stand up. Everybody, stand up. Todos los que hablan español, pues, para que nos entendamos de una vez, pónganse de pie. Now, listen. Ustedes saben lo que significa. Si yo digo rana, ustedes brincan. Rana, brinca. Rana, brinca. That means when I say frog, you jump. Now, everybody in the room, stand up, please. Everybody. So, when I say frog, you jump, okay? Frog. Come on, we're going to be here all day long. It's easy, isn't it? Frog. Wake up the guy next to you and say, amen. We better get our game straight here. We're going to be jumping all day. So come on, get your act together. Come on, frog, jump as high as you can, frog. Okay, you may be seated. Now, let me explain what that means. In Mexico, when somebody tells you, if one of your buddies tells you, tú di rana y yo brinco, you just say frog and I jump, that means, man, you just say the word, I got your back. I'm going to back you. That's like neighborhood talk, like hood. I had this teammate when I used to work for Verizon who was back in Mexico City, where I live, where I'm a pastor at, and he said, man, I was in my hood in L.A. You know what I mean? You see, I can even speak even worse English in front of you if I want to, like he did. Like, so I was in L.A., man, and I had this gang, and I was part of it, man. You guys now are picturing me, like, with my hat backwards and big old baseball jersey and shorts halfway down, right? Like a cholo. Come on, man, and I got your back, man. I'm your hood. You know what I'm saying? So he spoke that way all the time. So in Mexico, when somebody tells you, you just say frog and I'll leap, I'll jump. That means I got your back. Now, guess what? In the Bible, there's a hood story. There's a story about neighborhood. There's a story about you just say frog and I leap. Go to Genesis chapter 14. We're going to spend some time there. So when I say frog, you jump. That means you had my back. That means you back me up. You got me. Well, here's the story. And I'm just going to read a few verses, and I don't care if I mess up with my English here, because I even mess up these names in Spanish, so whatever. So that's Genesis chapter 14. It says, about this time, war broke in the region. This is verse 1. King Amraphel of Babylonia, King Arioch of Eleazar, King of Kedorlaomer of Elam, King Tidal of Golem, fought against King Bera of Sodom, King Birsha of Gomorrah, King Sheba of Adam of Adma, sorry, King Shimeder of Sebolim, and King Bila, also called Soar. This second group of kings joined forces in Sidim Valley, that is the Valley of the Dead Sea. For 12 years, they had been subject to the king of Kedorlaomer, but in the 13th year, they rebelled against him. So there you have it. That's the context. Big old war. Five armies against four. Yeah, that sounds like Lord of the Rings stuff, right? Five armies against four. Now, you need to get those pictures back in your mind, because we're going to use them. You got to see that going on here. Now, let me give you a little context of the book of Genesis. It's the very first book of the Bible. Yeah, we know that. But guess what? Chapters 1 through 11, God treats all the nations as one family. Starting on chapter 12, God is going to treat one family as a whole nation, as a whole difference. Why? What makes the difference? Because on chapter 12, you have Abram being called by God. And God told him, hey, Abram, I need you to go to the land that I'm going to show you. And I will bless you, and I will turn you into a nation. That's how it started. Chapter 13, God blessed Abram so much that he had to part ways with his nephew, Lot, and say, man, we have just too much cattle. We need to part ways. You go whatever direction you want to go, Lot, and I'll go the opposite way. And so Lot was very smart and said, man, this looks like Columbia, South Carolina, so I'm just going to go that way. Well, in my heart, I wanted to say, man, that looks like Mexico City. I'm going to just grab it all. And so he went that way, close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram went the other way. So that's chapter 13. In chapter 14, this big war breaks out. And so you have these four armies that were led by, all those weird names? Did you see them? Well, the first one that says, Kedorlaomer. He was the leader of all these four armies, and they fought against these five other armies south. But guess what? Listen, on chapter 14, verse 4, verse 5, it says, 1 year later, Kedorlaomer and his allies arrived and defeated the Rephathites and Astaroth Kernaim and Susites at Ham and Emites at Shivan Kiriatim and the Horiites at Mount Seir, as far as El Paran, at the edge of the wilderness. Now, listen, they were flexing their muscles. They defeated seven armies before they went to the five that verse 1, 2, and 3 talk about. They were just showing off, saying, we're going to beat you. We're going to defeat you. So by the time when they got close to Sodom, they defeated them, and they took Lot, Abram's nephew, with them. You're probably thinking, okay, what's that about? Well, it sets up the hood. The hood is going to jump. The hood is going to jump because they take captive Lot and his people, and then on verse 13, read with me in your Bible, but one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abram, the Hebrew, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mamre, the Amorite. Just one man who escaped and told it news, hey, Abram, listen up, they took Lot. All that Abram heard was frog, and he jumped. I got you, Lot. I got your back. I'm coming for you. I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to back you up. That's a way to put it. When you have friends, when you have family that can back you up, you feel secure. You feel like you could defeat an army. They got your back. You can go anywhere and feel secure because you have people that surround you, people that pray for you, people that actually intercede for you. They will pray their faces off for you. I shared with some of the coaches the other day that when I was young and living with my parents, my dad was a pastor, and for what I hear, he was a good preacher. A lot of people knew him and loved his teaching. I gotta tell you, he passed away 2 weeks after I gave my life to Christ. So I cannot tell you if he was a good preacher or not. I don't know. I don't remember. But this I remember. Every single night when I had to brush my teeth and wash my face before to go to bed, I needed to go through his bedroom to go to the bathroom. Every single night, I heard my father pray for me and my siblings. Every single night, Lord, use them in your kingdom. Use them. I don't remember any sermons. I don't have any outlines. But I have the memory of him praying for me and my siblings. Ironically, my dad never preached out of his church, not even once. Ironically, he prayed my ministry into existence, speaking here, there, everywhere. Look at me. Look at where I am now. This is a result of my dad's prayers for me. But before we move into that, remember, we're facing here, chapter 14, there's a war. Now, those of you who speak Spanish, you feel me, right? Speak English for some time, and you run out of saliva. They're not going to teach you that in English class, by the way. So, just a tip for you. So, one of the of Lot's men escaped and brought the news to Abram and told him, hey, they got Lot. You got to do something. So, look at verse 14. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. That's the hood. The hood is jumping. Come on, we got you, Lot. Hey, wait. That's how many? What's the number in that verse? 318. That reminds you of another movie, right? 300. Oh, come on. You're so holy, you don't watch movies or what? You remember that movie, right? 300 against a whole army. Well, 318 against four armies. Four. Can you imagine that? It's like my Dallas Cowboys going against, well, pretty much any other team in the NFL. To be honest with you. It hurts, but it's true. So here you have it. Then he went with them at Dan. Verse 15. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Kedorlaomer's army fled. But Abram chased them as far as Hoav, north of Damascus. So simply. Simply stated, right? He went for them. They fled. They chased them. They got them. Somebody read Hebrews 7:1. Somebody out loud. This is a big room, so you need to stand up and read Hebrews 7:1. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. Somebody, come on. Come on. Yes. Thank you, the defeat of the kings. Now, listen, if you go to different translations, you'll read the slaughter. Did you hear me? The slaughter of the kings. So this wasn't like, oh, we just poked them on the ribs with our knives and they fled. No, they killed a great amount of people that if you read the rest of the book of Genesis, these kings did not recover their strength to fight again. They did a massive killing of people that night. They slaughtered them. Abram went after them because Abram got Lot's back. You say frog, I jump. You just call it, I'm there for you. I was playing with my buddies in high school, just football, but it wasn't organized football. It was just, you know, some backyard probably football you would call it. And so I had this big lineman. I was playing quarterback because apparently I was the only one who can throw more than 10 yards or something like that. And so I had this big lineman here and this other lineman here. And so things got a little bit hot on the field. And one of the tough guys on the other team came and pushed me and almost knocked me down. And this big guy said, "Hey, you don't touch Santi." Oh, man. Feels good. Oh, I got goosebumps, you know, like, "Man, you don't touch Santi." So the other guy backed off a little bit. He came after me all game long, but I don't care. He's got my back. I say frog, he jumps. I say frog, he jumps. He's got my back. All of a sudden, I feel better on the field. I feel respected. Well, listen to this. It says here, verse 16, Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Let me read another verse for you, a couple of verses. I'm going to read out of Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are the reward. They are a reward for him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. Verse 5, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. What is that? Blessed is the man that has a hood to back him up. Has children that will back him up. Now let me tell you a quick story. That precious little girl that they showed on the screen, that's my only child. So apparently I'm not going to have a hood, a crew that jumps when I say frog, you know? It's just one child. So my prayer for her daily is that she turns into some kind of Natasha Romanoff. You know who I'm talking about. Some kind of Black Widow. Okay, if you've been living under a rock, that's a superhero, a female superhero that can fight and can do all these amazing things. So apparently I'm just going to have her. But guess what? I have a whole hood that jumps for me. Right now there's in Mexico a ton of people praying for you and praying for me. I have a hood. I texted them right before I came on stage and said, "It's now, it's on, let's go." Elderly women praying on their knees for you who are here today. Young men working at offices praying right now as they work in their computers for you today, for me today. I have a hood. Tengo barrio, para los que hablan español. El barrio me respalda, el barrio brinca. The hood jumps for me. The hood backs me up. I remember I was in elementary school. I was not a fright. I was the kid that probably every parent wants, actually. The one that gets the good grades. The one that doesn't get in trouble. The one that does the right things, apparently. But I was really introverted. I had a rough time speaking in front of people. Irony from God, right? Who would say? And so these three kids in my class, they used to pick on me all the time, all the time. And I was like writing and doing things on my notebooks, and they would just smack my head on the back and make fun of it. And just these big bullies gave me a hard, hard time. But things got worse when they found out that I was a Christian kid and that my church was just two blocks away from our school. So one day after church service, they came and they found me. And they held me against the wall. And exactly when they were about to beat me up, one of the elder men of the church came out and scared him away. And they said, tomorrow at school, you'll be alone. I was so scared. I didn't say anything to my parents, but they noticed. They saw something was wrong with me that night. So one of my brothers came and said, what's wrong with you, Santi? Nothing. Come on, man. I know something's wrong. And I told him what had happened for weeks now, what happened at church that day. And so he went and told my dad. And my dad told my brother David. Now, if you know my brother David, he's into karate and ninja stuff, and he's kind of tough. He was bulky even when he was a teenager. He looked like a 40 man with a body of a 40-year-old man like that. You know, he's one of those, like, no disrespect, Johnny, but he was like, and so next day, after school, his kids are waiting for me. I see them outside the door of the school. And I'm wondering, what am I going to do here? There's no other way out. And I see this bulky guy. He's my brother. And he stands at the door and says, come out. Who are they? And I'm behind his back, just like, those three. Okay, let's talk to them. So he walks to them. He's in high school. He's a senior in high school by that time. He has a few words with them. And guess what? Those bullies went, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. 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 Yes. Thank you. Okay. Okay. And they left. Listen. When Abram heard about Lot, his nephew, being taken captive, he knew he had to do something. He knew in his heart he had to jump for his hood. With all these documentaries about 9/11, I've heard a ton of facts, but one of them is the amount of men that joined military after 9/11 because they saw the need. They knew they had to do something. When you see the need, when you see the world, I hope you understand we have to do something. When you see the need here among you, I hope you understand we have to do something. We have to pray people into heaven. Man, I wish breaking piñatas was an Olympic game, Olympic sport, you know? Mexico would have at least one gold medal. That would be it, like smashing piñatas. What happens when you smash the piñata? Candy falls out, right? Everything explodes. That's what happens when you and I pray. Heaven explodes with blessing all over. Oh, you say, well, so our task after your message is just going to be, let's have a time of prayer. Yes. Yes. Because it makes a difference. It really does. Now, listen, if you think prayer is like a cute little religious thing we do just to check it off our list and God doesn't get mad at us and keeps on blessing us, you're wrong. Prayer is war. Prayer is war. But because you don't believe it, I'll need to share this story with you. One day, at the church that I pastor, a young man came. I hadn't seen him for years, since he was a teenager. And he said, hey, it's good to meet you. And we did some, you know, just catching up. And he said, well, I got to tell you something. I've been around the wrong kind of people, and I've done a lot of stuff I'm ashamed of. And he said, the thing is, I'm part of this gang, and we have done some satanic stuff. and we made a covenant with evil spirits. Sometimes when we're fighting other gangs, I lose control of myself. And when I kind of wake up, I'm elsewhere, not where we were fighting. So I know what to do, right? I got to share the gospel with him. So he understands that because he was a church kid and he knows where I'm going with this conversation. And he goes like, oh, wait. Because in our covenant, we said, those who try to talk us out of this will be killed. And I'm like, okay. Anyway, let me share the gospel with you. Amen. I shared the gospel, went home. And then at night, somebody tried to break into my house. I look out the window and there's these couple of guys dressed in black, sitting on a motorcycle. It's going vroom, 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 and showing their guns. So I stepped back. Okay, this is serious. As soon as I was ready to call the police, they took off. Next day, I go out my way, try to fix the door that they broke. I'm walking around the streets of Mexico City, and I feel somebody just behind me, and I look around, and there's this guy dressed in black. Just look at me. Looks at me like this and takes off. At night, guess what? Motorcycle is back. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Same guys showing guns. As soon as I have the phone in my hand to call 911, they take off. That happened for 1 week. People following me all the time. Next weekend, I get to church. And this young man says, Santi, are you okay? ¿Estás bien? Yes, I'm okay. I had the weirdest experience last Monday. I was reading my Bible, and I got to the point where they killed John the Baptist. And I thought, somebody's trying to kill Santi tonight. I spent all night long praying for you. And I've been praying all week long. I've been trying to reach and connect to you, but couldn't. Are you okay? And I started weeping. Yes. You know what? I have my hood. He takes care of me. And I have a hood. They jump for me. That guy spent all night long praying just that no one would touch me. One night long praying for me. So don't tell me prayer is a cute little religious thing we do. We're in a fight. You're going to pick up a fight today. You got to fight in prayer for those that cannot fight for themselves. Because guess what? Let me quickly refer this. Abraham acted like Jesus here. When he heard the news, he went and fought the fight that Lot could not fight for himself. Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, to go to the cross, to die the death that you could not die, to clean your sins. He did it himself. He's got your back. He fought for you. Whose back you have? Come on, pull out your phone. I need you to jot down three names of three people, real people. They might be in this room. They might be elsewhere. Need to jot them down. You're going to fight for them. You're going to pick up a fight. Let me give you a few names. Ismeray, Christian, Raphael, Isaac, Benjamin, all those are people that my church and I have prayed for recently and that we have seen come to Christ. You got to see this happen. And you won't until you do it. So come on, jot down three names. We're going to pray for them. This is a fight. A Christian thinker said once, how precious must be the souls of men that God and the devil are after them. How precious must be the souls of men that God and the devil are after them. Those are precious souls you're going to pray for today. Whose back you have, jot it down. Whenever you're ready, stand up. We're going to fight right here for those people. So stand up if you're ready. Stand up. We're going to pray for them. It's going to be warfare here. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff because souls are involved here. There's eternity at stake here. You understand that? There's eternity at stake. Now, don't be afraid. Let's pray all out loud. It's gonna be chaos, I know, but I'm gonna pray here, and you'll pray right there where you are. Let's pray right now for three people that need Jesus. One, two, three. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you bring your salvation, that you bring your gospel to the nations. Yes, Lord. Yes, but what about Veronica, who lives just two apartments down my apartment? Would you please save her? Lord, hear our cry. We're breaking piñatas here and spreading blessings all over people. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us spread your gospel? Let us jump, let us fight, let us pick up this fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. This is serious business. This is not just a religious task that we just need to check off. Souls are at stake here. Eternity is at stake. Lord, just pour your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Bring salvation. Till everybody hears. Till everybody knows. I hear some of you weeping. And I thank God for those tears. Because when Jesus from the mountain saw Jerusalem, he wept. Because he saw the need. And he said, there's something need that needs to be done. And went to the cross and died for our sins. You have their names in your phones, but you have their faces in your heart. You gotta fight on your knees. You gotta fight on your knees. You gotta fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. Did you notice? Everything happened. The slaughter of four armies by 318 men happened because one reported to Abram what happened. You do that now. You report to Jesus what's happening. You're reporting to Jesus, Jesus, this person needs you. That woman needs you. This kid, this little boy needs you. That girl needs you. You report to him. This is what's going on. He or she needs you. And let him fight for them.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.